Well, it's great to see a lovely crowd here tonight and that wonderful and enthusiastic singing. It's been a real blessing and I'm glad that you are here tonight and thank the Lord for those that have come from a bit of a distance to share with us. And we certainly appreciate all of our brothers and sisters from all over. And it's wonderful to be able to open the Word of God together. And what an amazing subject. What an amazing subject. Now I'm wondering, can I put this down? Will it explode or anything happen? I think we can do that because I'm going to need a bit of room here for the Bible. Okay. All right, please, if you would turn to 1 John 2, verse 18. 1 John 2, 18. 1 John 2, 18, and this evening we're just... is that all right, Pastor? Sorry about that.
It's not all right.
It's not all right, but Pastor can fix it. Amen?
Let's see if we can just sit it there. Is that all
sit
right?
Sit it there, that's okay.
No, don't slap it, all right? Get a small table, yeah.
Small table coming up. This is all part of the introduction to the sermon, amen? Yeah. All right. 1 John 2:18. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, and now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And certainly that is true, the last time and the last of the last time. We know this last time here is that period of time that ushers in and before the final events of the rapture of the church and other things that would take place. And so we find that this is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. There are many antichrists. There are many that are against Christ and against Christ, even those in religious organizations. We will call them that, religious organizations. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For they, if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So here John is explaining that even in his time, there were those that turned against Christ, that rejected Christ. They may have at some stage made some kind of profession, but they turned away, they went away from Christ. And this is a word that is used to describe what they did as apostasy. They knowingly turned away from following the Lord and went in their own direction. Over into Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, and here in these last winding up events, we see something wonderful. For tonight we are thinking about the deception of the last days, the deceptions that are in the world in these days. And if you are not aware of the deceptions that are out there, you need to wake up, because the evil one is full of his deceptive ways. And the thing about someone that deceives, it's very hard to identify sometimes a deceiver. They will hide themselves and not reveal their true identity. And this is how Satan would often work and how he would want to deceive even the very elect, the Bible says. In chapter 20, verses 1 to 4, and I want you to think of a hallelujah, amen, at the end of this reading. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And the reason for binding him 1,000 years to allow for a wonderful season called the millennium is found in verse number 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So we read that he is loosed a little season and he goes out to deceive yet again and finds another group of fools that follow his deceptive ways. And the Lord has to come and deal with them put an end to them, and they wind up in a devil's hell, a bottomless pit, where they will never be able to deceive anybody again. There is coming a time on this scene when in these events of the winding up of things as we now know them, that the Lord will make an end to the deceptions of the evil one. Satan has been doing deceptive things since the very beginning of the creation. He has been working overtime to deceive men and women and to try and get as many people from planet Earth into a devil's hell. And how sad that is. People are foolish enough to accept his deceptions and offers and think that they're going to party in hell. Nothing could be further from the truth, dearly beloved. There'll be no partying in hell. And it is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And unfortunately, those who do not receive Christ, who reject him, and who fail to look to the cross of Calvary and see the precious blood of the Lamb, those who fail to do so, beloved, will find themselves in a terrible predicament, a place where they will never be able to get themselves out. Oh, how terrible that is. But I think there is good news in chapter 20 there of the book of Revelation. And I think that sometimes in the book of Revelation we get a bit carried away, we get a bit bogged down in the heaviness of what is going on, but we miss out sometimes in the wonderful victories that are won by our Lord Jesus Christ and that are seen throughout this wonderful book of Revelation. Every time the devil is mentioned practically in the book of Revelation, he is the one that would deceive. He is called the deceiver. He is called the deceiver of nations, the deceiver of men and women. He is a very wicked and evil one, and we see in our world today deceptions on every hand, deception everywhere. And we see deception in advertising and deception in politics. We see deception in the nations, where whole nations can be deceived. We see deception coming from leaders of nations. And we see this even with the situation in the war that is going on over there. And Mr. Putin doesn't want us to call it a war or an invasion. He wants to silence us, and so he's made a ruling, a law, that anybody that goes against the state news and announces what is going on, they will receive a 15-year jail term. So his new law, proclaimed on the 4th of March of this year, and journalists and anybody that would proclaim other than what Mr. Putin says will find themselves in a jail sentence for a long time. Mr. Putin, however, is not cognizant of the fact of what is coming up and what will happen to people who go out to make war and to destroy people's lives. So we see that this world is full of deception. Deception in advertising. Deception in social media, deception, a lot of deception on that department. People are being deceived out of millions of dollars every year through scam calls and scammers that are deceiving them. And there are so many that are caught unawares by the scammers. Satan, tonight I would like to announce that Satan is the chief scammer. And he will rip you off big time. He wants to take you down and down a long way to the devil's hell. And what a terrible future that is for people that know not the Lord Jesus. And if you do not know that you are the Lord's and that you're going to heaven tonight, you need to think about that and make an important decision in your life to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and to stop trusting the devil. He's your deceiver. He'll lead you downwards and destroy your life. Trust the Lord Jesus. He gives wonderful life, and the millennium we heard will be a beautiful time with the Lord Jesus reigning supreme. But here we find that we are in these last days, and these are days of terrible deception. Deception is everywhere. In case you wonder about what I'm talking about tonight, there is deception everywhere. I'd like to give you one strong case for this. One strong case. Turn to the first book of the Bible, please. One strong case for what I'm saying tonight. And we ought to be awakened by these thoughts. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. God created the heaven and the earth. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the most contested truths in society today and one of the most deceptive areas that there is. I cannot believe that people in this modern era would believe a man that went out in a small boat, didn't even have an electronic microscope, didn't have a computer, didn't have a proper referencing system for all that he found. And yet when he proclaimed that it all evolved, when he proclaimed that it all evolved, he was first one deceived, was Mr. Darwin, and he was deceptive upon others, and those that followed him and hung around with him, they also became part of the great deception. I would call that the great deception. And that deception is rampant today. And one of the things that is most alarming is the Christian institutions and organization and educational bodies, those Christian so-called bodies that promote and teach the matters of evolution to their people as though they were true. At best, it was the theory of evolution, but the theory of evolution soon came down to something as an accepted fact. And we don't have time to go into all of that, but I would recommend to you Sunday morning in a couple of weeks' time. We're going to have a wonderful and knowledgeable man sharing with us the wonders of God's great creation and so forth. In an apologetics program, that will be good to reconsider this matter and to see what the Bible says and what good science says as well. So it is that this is an area of great deception, and it will be a great area of deception. And one of the marks of the last days in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3, 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that was then overflowed with water and perished, there was a flood. So it was that the Bible gives us very clearly the origins of all things, and very clearly states that God was the creator, and he created a very special creation in a short amount of time. Kidneys cannot survive without the rest of the body, amen? Yes, basic, isn't it? But oh, so many things that are basic are being overlooked and denied for false information and lies of the devil. Atheistic materialism proclaims material to be more important than anything else. and leads men and women into idolatrous relationship with the creation. This is all part of the apostasy. In the last days, the Bible says that this would happen, that people would turn away from the faith. They would quit the faith. They would give up the faith and accept lies, and go down into a devil's hell followed in those lies. We see another deception of the times and very recent times is the gender identification matter. And young people at 6 years old are being asked to identify their gender. Now, in America, there are places in America where young people of 6 years old in the state system are not allowed to hear the gospel. It's hate speech to bring the gospel and say some people are going to heaven and some are going to hell. But by the same token, they can say to a six-year-old, identify what your gender, which gender you want to be. How ridiculous is that? Friends, that is not good health, and it's proclaimed and put forward in the education system as teaching health. That is not good health, friends. So having them be under this sort of pressure at such a young age is sinful and wicked and of the devil, who wants to wreck lives and to bring them down to a devil's hell. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, there in those verses, we see very clearly that God created Adam. Adam was a male. We find then in chapter 2 of Genesis, verses 21 and 24, God brought Eve out of the side of Adam and to rib him for the rest of his life. No, to be his helpmate, amen? And where would we be without a good wife, amen? I hate to think of it. And thank God for good wives, and thank God for those who know what they are and who they are and are happy with their identity, amen? Amen? That's what is really the big problem, friends. That's where the devil is getting in, to make people unsettled and unsure about their identity. And if they are questioning their identity, where are they? What have they got? Apart from a devil's hell and a life that is completely turned upside down and inside out. And how sad it is that people are going that way. It's a great deception. It's a great deception to think that somebody can do so, a change from one gender to another. It's a deception. And then they use modern medicine to try and sustain that deception, only to find in the long run very sad problems and health problems and all the rest of it. Do I need to say any more? But this is another area of Satan's deception. It's current. If you want to know whether we're in the last days, have a look at some of these wicked things that are taking place in the world now. We find also that the next thing that Satan really would want to attack is right there in the Bible in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. The next deception of the devil. And this world is full of deceptions, and they are coming from the evil one, from the very depths of evil and sin. And they are designed to attack and go right against the people of God, and the people of God and the will of God and the plan of God. And we see this in Genesis here, that the serpent came. And look at chapter 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. This is the first prophecy in the Word of God of Christ coming to defeat the enemy, Satan. And how wonderful that is. Now, Eve got into terrible trouble over the matter of what God had said. And this is really where the issues are today. What God has said, what the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and so on, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect. Perfect. He might know perfectly the will of God and the plan of God and all that there is of God. So here is the Word of God. God gives to Eve a simple prohibition and says, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge and of good and evil thou shalt not eat. Now, how much clearer could it be? God said, don't touch that. That fruit of that knowledge of good and evil. Now, all the other fruits in the garden, friends, there were hundreds of other fruits in the garden that were beautiful and available and ready for them to use because of God's great creating power and His desire to take care of His children and give them some nice things to eat. God is not a killjoy. He likes to give people good things to eat. But there was something that He said that you're not going to do. Something that you are not going to do. Now, this was a test of these original parents, whether they would accept what God had to say or whether they would rebel and be deceived by the evil one. And Eve, when God comes to interview them and to try and work this out, to sort them out, in verse number 13 of chapter 3 there of Genesis, look at it now. I hope you're following in your Bible. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? What have you done, Eve? God was brokenhearted about this. Now, this was a serious matter, this disobedience to God's word, this disregard for the word of God, a very serious sin. If you are guilty of that sin of disregarding the word of God, that's a major sin, dear beloved. You need to get it right and get into the Word of God. The Bible is God's Word from cover to cover. You can rely upon it. You can stake your future upon it. And you can be found in the Word of God. But please, dear brothers and sisters, don't join with Eve in her foolishness. Oh, what foolishness it was that she listened to the devil, that she allowed the devil to confuse her. But this is the deception of the devil. And this is in verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? God was not being mean to her. He was not being sexist or any other foolish thing that some silly person might say. And the woman said, listen to it, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. This was the beginning of the deception. Satan beguiled her, and he came in that form of the snake and beguiled her. Isn't it interesting that after this beguilement and he had done the damage, he no longer and very rarely ever is manifested as a snake. So what he does now is he goes underground, friends. He goes incognito. And unless you are spiritually attuned, you will not be aware. You'll be foolishly deceived by the evil one. And that's what he's doing. He's attacking the Word of God. It's not the Bible. It's not the Word of God. How do you know? And so forth. And they are attacking the Word of God. Now, unfortunately, the attacks of the Word of God, great attacks upon the Word of God, have come about in this 19th century and then into the 20th century. And those first and great attacks came from infidels like Charles Darwin and from theologians in leading theological colleges and seminaries around the world, and especially in Europe and the German ancestors. You don't have to work out much to see that Ringwald is fairly German. And okay, there's some ancestors back there. I have found out about one of my ancestors who wrote 500 hymns for me. I heard about this ancestor that wrote 500 hymns. And a friend told me, hey, this ancestor, same spelling as your name. And my heart sank and I said, who did he write them for? And he said, Mr. Luther. Hallelujah, that man of faith. Who trusted the Lord and who discovered wonderful salvation and justification by faith. But those German rationalist friends, they attacked the Word of God and began to tear it apart. Schleiermacher, I think his name was, stood before a class of theologians, young theologians being trained, and he held up a cover of a Bible, formerly a cover of a Bible, and it had about 3 or 4 pages in it, and he said, "Gentlemen, this is the Word of God." All it had was the commandments and the Beatitudes. It's all it had. That's all he could, all he believed was the Word of God. How sad that is. What a foolish comment. The devil had beguiled him, friends, to not believe the Word of God. Don't let the devil beguile you, dear friend. If you are a friend of mine, don't let the devil beguile you and get you from the Word of God. The Word of God is settled in heaven. It is God's Word. There is so much in the Word of God. It is so accurate. We had some wonderful sessions this morning. I couldn't believe how accurate and how many details there are in the Word of God when it comes to the prophecies concerning the future. You can rely upon the Word of God. Just as we saw the Lord Jesus come in fulfillment of the prophecies, so he will come again as he said. "I will come again," he says, "and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Are you going to be with me? Are you going to be with us? Do you know for sure that you're going to be in the rapture if the Lord should come tomorrow, that you're going up to be with the Lord? The serpent beguiled Eve and stole the Word of God from her. Our Lord did a wonderful job of bringing them back, I believe. And if you follow it through, you find that Adam does turn to the Lord and the blood is shed. And Adam again finds fellowship with God. That's another story, another sermon, amen. And we don't have time for that. We hardly have enough time for this one, amen. So the Bible, friends, is under attack. And I'm telling you what. Beware. These modern versions that are kicking out nowadays. They're words that they don't like. They drop them out and put something else in. Verses that they don't like, they drop them out and put something in. Whole sections of Scripture, they drop them out and put something else in or nothing. How sad that is, to steal away the Word of God. And the Bible says if you add or take away from the prophecies of this book, it's not good for you. It is not good for you. There is a judgment that goes with that, dear friends. So the Word of God is under great attack. And there is great deception these days about what is the Word of God and what the Word of God says. And people go on the social network and find a spooker on there, a false prophet, and believe it or not, it's amazing how they'll fall for a false prophet and not the truth of God. False prophets abound. And this is another mark of that, where they deny the prophecies of the Word of God and go for something else. Here's a prophecy that I read about in a magazine just today. And it's an Arab prophet, and he says, Sheikh Bassam Jaras, he says that by March 22, and somewhere between March 22 and June 22, events will occur that will cause Israel to cease in existence. He made this prophecy 30 years ago. He became extremely rich with this prophecy, by the way, and people still follow him. That's a false prophet for you, amen. Yet people follow that. They deny the Word of God and they'll follow some guru or prophet. Be careful. When you tune into that internet preacher, you better be careful. More of those internet preachers are nuts than there are those that love the Word of God and are teaching the truth and staying with it. They're deceived and they are deceivers. Christian rock is another great deception of the devil. Friends, how can you put Christian words, so-called, to the devil's beat that comes from drum beats in the middle of African African satanic dances and such like that. How can you put the two together? The two do not go together. What will happen is the one will overtake the other. Some gentlemen that were concerned about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ not being used in among God's people, and even in these mega churches, and the rock music gets beating out, how they very rarely would hear the name of Jesus. They recorded down how often they heard the name of Jesus. I don't have that information, but you can get it if you want it. Very few times could they identify the name of Jesus. Friends, was drowned out by the beat and by the other noise that was going on and hubbub. The Word of God then, and the words, one would hardly be able to discern what they were. Not that long ago, we were trying to help some friends of ours, and we went to a place where they go, and we listened for 45 minutes to the worst sort of rock stuff that you could ever hear, and we could not make any sense of it. And everybody afterwards was trying to ask about what they were trying to sing about. And friends, the devil is getting people in confusion through this sort of thing. There is no such thing. It's a delusion. There is no such thing as Christian rock. It's either the devil's music or God's music. I'll go for God's music every time, amen. God's music, you should be able to identify a melody. The words that go with that music ought to be very biblical and clearly helpful to the soul, in order to lift up the message of the cross and salvation for the souls of men and women. But most of that stuff is becoming just a hubbub of noise, and people are getting in strife. Some of those groups are getting in strife with local communities for breaking noise restrictions on a Sunday morning. I would rather sing the songs of Zion and praise God with wonderful words and beautiful melodies for the Lord Jesus Christ, and sing the devil's rubbish. Then there is the problem, the deception over moral impurity. What is morality? What are the morals of the day? What morals should we follow? Well, firstly, when it comes to discovering the morals, the first thing they do is put aside the Ten Commandments. I was having this debate with a young relative about this, and because I quoted something from a commandment, and he challenged me. He said, "What was that about?" I said, "Don't you know?" I said, "That's one of the Ten Commandments." "What? Where did you get that?" "Back in Exodus chapter 19. God gave it to his people to show them how to live." "Never heard of such a thing. I'm following the Spirit. I'll do what the Spirit says. I don't go by that." Yeah, that's right, you don't. And so many don't. That's why the divorce and marriage is breaking down. That's why there's immorality of every kind in some of these places, and where the lack of morality is there. It's alarming what's happening in education at this time. Alarming, some of the things that they are wanting to bring in to teach the children in the name of health. I hear some of these things, and to me they're the worst form of illness that you could have. It's found wrapped up in these ideas of their morality. It's immorality, friends. It's the old immorality brought back up to date. And they're lies of the devil. No one should be relying upon the lies of the devil. After all, the devil says, no one can really be holy in these days. Isn't that a bit harsh and restrictive? You hear a voice like that coming through, friends, that's Mr. Devil. That's a deceiver. He's coming through to tell you there is no victory over sin. There is no life of blessing and holiness that can be had on planet Earth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells a little bit there about the second coming of the Lord. And the book of Thessalonians is a wonderful book in that regard. In chapter 2 and verse number 10, chapter 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The fullness of this is going to happen in the tribulation, and we're not there yet, amen. The rapture must take place first before any tribulation comes in the full sense of the word, as taught in the book of Revelation. Now, the mystery of iniquity, look at verse number 7. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. And he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, until the Spirit of God be withdrawn. Evil will take place. And of course, that one of the things about the tribulation after believers are in the glory with Christ, one of the things about the tribulation be total lawlessness. Let no man deceive you by any means. Verse number 3 there. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That word is apostia, a falling away first. Apostia is a leaving off the faith, a turning away from the Lord to other things. It's not something else. It's not a snatching away. It's a turning away. It's a stepping out of the faith to evil and sin and wrong. Except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Eventually, what will happen, what the apostasy will lead to, is people being prepared and the revelation of the evil one being come forth. So it is that there is awful sinfulness in the world. Iniquity abounds. Because iniquity abounds, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So it is that there is terrible deception in the world today on moral purity. There are bad, awful, and evil, sinful lifestyles, life choices they're being called, that are being put forward as alternatives. These are deceptions of the devil and lead to a devil's hell. The apostasy, which is spoken of clearly in the Word of God, in many places, and in the book of Revelation, you have the messages to the churches. You have a Laodicean church there. Go there very quickly for a moment or two. Time is against us. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And look at verse number 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, materialistic, and have need of nothing. Knowest thou that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked?" This is the condition of these believers who have excluded the Lord Jesus Christ from their lives and have become lazy lullabouts, who are just lukewarm and don't stand for anything. They're neutral on all the issues that you can imagine, and they are part of the apostasy. John Owen, 350 years or so ago, wrote down and what he saw as the marks of apostasy. Loss of all appreciation for the gospel. Loss of conviction that the gospel is true. Contempt for the promises of God. Rejection of true Christian faith. The commandments of God and the truths of God rejected. Hatred for the people of God. Hatred for the Spirit of God. Hatred for Christ. False prophets will arise and lead apostate Christianity to the acceptance of the Antichrist, the deception of fake news and other false teaching. This is another area then of deception. Fake news and false teaching is available in everywhere. Be careful. Don't be caught up in fake news. Don't believe everything you hear or read or see, especially when you turn that idiot box on or that TV on, you watch the TV news. Friends, be careful. There is this great deception in the media and in the use of the media and also in the social media. There's great deception there. And it's very hard to get deceptive and false information off that system when it's clearly wrong. So we see that our world is dominated by this matter of deception. But thank God, there are still born-again believers that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, He'll receive His own to Himself, the rapture of the church. What a wonderful victory that will be. Friends, as we read the book of Revelation and we see the battles and all the things that happened there, let us not minimize the victory that will be won by the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture of the saints is a great victory where the Lord lifts up His children out of this wicked and sinful world, and the end of deception will come as they are received up into the glory. It's nothing for the Lord to take us up. Several of you went up and came down again to get down to Adelaide. There are several up there right now flying around, thousands, millions that are flying around. It is nothing for our Lord to rapture the believer out of this scene and to get us out of the mess. To get us out of the mess, like Lot of old, his believing relative had to get him out of the mess. Let me tell you, the rapture is the only way that some of you and some people that profess Christ will get out of the mess. God will have to take them out. They'll be saved so as by fire, by the skin of their teeth, someone said. And this is so true, isn't it? Though Christ is the one who will come. Christ will make an end to all the falsehood that we see and know of in the world and that we are troubled by. He will do it through rapturing us out of the scene. He will do that. He will take control of the situation. We see that in Revelation 12 and verse 9, He will cast Satan out of heaven. He will cast him out of the heaven. The apostasy in the last days will increase. Apostasy which prepares for the acceptance in the world of the Antichrist, the deceiver, the false religious system of Babylon, spoken of in Revelation 17, 16, will be destroyed by the Lord, by the power of the Lord. He will also bring the destruction of the false economic system, Babylon, the false economic system. Babylon, the mother of harlots, the harlot church, who's playing with the devil and worshipping the devil and Christ, that church will be dissolved. Those people will find themselves in a devil hell, devil's hell. We see also the destruction of economic and political Babylon in chapter 18 of Revelation. And so we see that that will be a time of defeat for those poor systems, but it will be a victory for our Lord Jesus Christ and for His children. Then there will come the battle of Armageddon, and Christ will come with His redeemed from glory, the white army of the Lord. He will come on the white horse, and His believers, you and I, believers in Christ, who have followed Him and been obedient and faithful to Him. Those of us who love the Lord will be with Him in that battle. And the enemy will be put to flight in that battle. And we see that though the battle that would take place in the first part of the tribulation, the battle where Gog and Magog come down with those groups from the Russian area and then the Islamics come down to wipe out Israel. God moves mightily for Israel, and Israel turns to the Lord in thankfulness for his deliverance and recognize Jesus Christ to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So then there is that battle, that great battle that will be a final and decisive battle. But I want you to notice something about that battle, about that time. And we read about it in Revelation chapter 20 there. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. Thank God. The Lord is going to take control. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, that one that deceived Eve, and this, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Why was he to be bound 1,000 years? So that the millennial kingdom could come and it would be free of deception of the evil one. They cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Friends, not only do individuals get deceived, but so do nations. And the Lord will lock him down in that place where he will not be able to cause any trouble. And that's why the millennial 1,000-year reign with Christ reigning out of Jerusalem will be a wonderful time, because there'll be no deceiver anymore. Thank God that he will be dealt with and Christ will win the victory. Don't be put off. Christ is the victorious one. He will win the battle, and he will win the battles for you as you yield to him. The amazing thing is, at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan and some of the rebels will join up to fight against the Lord. And the Lord will finish them off and put them to flight as well, and they'll be found in a devil's cell. Oh, what wonderful things await us and are ahead of us in that heaven, in that new millennial season. And then when Satan is defeated there finally, and in 22, the new heaven, and 21, the new heaven and new earth, wherein dwells only righteousness, no deceptions there. How wonderful that will be. And then we find that the Lord gives a warning in chapter 22. As we get to the end of the Revelation there. A quick overview tonight. As we get to the end of it there, the Lord assures his children in verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Over in verse number 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Oh, how wonderful that is. The Lord Jesus will be revealed. No Antichrist will be there, or anything to do with evil and sin will be there in that new heaven and new earth. And then there will be the final state. That final state, how wonderful that will be, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, all those wonderful things that we will enjoy, all free from the deception of the evil one, who will be completely excluded from that. You know, as we think of that, as in conclusion, as we think of that, the troubles that the devil causes. You stop and think for a moment, the trouble that the devil causes, the deceit and deception that he causes in marriages, in lives, in families, in churches. How sad that is. The devil is a divider. He hates God's people. It might surprise you to know that during the COVID time, there have been churches that have dissolved because they could not agree to fellowship together on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about what was going on around them and follow the Lord. How sad that is the case. They've been deceived by the devil, friends. Don't be among the deceived. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Live in holiness and stand for him. I'd like to finish on this last invitation the Lord gives. We find in verse number 17 of chapter 22 of Revelation, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If anyone shall take away from this the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." It's pretty serious stuff. But here's the invitation: whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. There's anyone here this evening that has not yet accepted the Lord? These matters of the second coming and of a devil's hell and all the battles and everything that will take place in these last days of the revelation. If you're afraid and you don't know and you have trouble settling down at night, friends, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you are that way tonight, we would like to help you after the service tonight or in the break time. If you need to talk to someone about this, you're unsure of heaven, you're not sure that you've received Christ as Saviour, and you are wondering what's going to happen in your condition, then you need to talk to someone, and we'd love to show you from the Bible how to receive the Saviour, that you could be going up, not down. Amen. And that's the wonderful thing for us as believers. There is victory. The Lord Jesus will defeat that evil one, and we will rejoice together in the victories that are won by our Lord Jesus. I wonder if you can rejoice tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the victories that have been won. And through this prophecy conference, no doubt there'll be a lot more said about these events and a lot more opportunity if you don't receive Christ tonight to do something about that. Let's bow in prayer, and Pastor will continue. Let's bow in prayer and have a word of prayer, and then Pastor will continue to lead as he sees fit. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the wonderful victories that have been won. We know this world is full of deceptions and evil. Satan is working overtime and increasing in his labors to destroy lives. And I pray tonight, Lord God, if there be anyone here that has not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would do so, that they would make their way to the front of the service after we sing the hymn or whatever, where we sing the hymn, and ask someone to show them how to receive Christ as Saviour. Father, we pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.